And so, last week and this week, this living through faith, Galatians chapter 5. And in the beginning of that chapter says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Amen? "And be not entangled or ensnared or brought back into the yoke of bondage." That's standing fast in the Lord. Oh, it's so important just to understand that we have a standing in God. That we need to understand the grace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, and have our faith grounded in Him and in His Word. Right? See, my opinion doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. What I have to say has nothing in comparison to what God has to say. And here in this piece of Scripture, it says that we need to hold on to the liberty. We are free in Jesus Christ. Whom Jesus has set free, oh, you are free indeed. He has set you free from the bondage of the law, the sacrificial law, all the 613 statutes that went along with the law, all those things. Jesus came, paid for it in full. And He set us free that we can have the liberties, the righteousness, the fullness of God in and on our lives. But the Galatian church had a problem. And this problem is that they had been beguiled. Somebody had came in after Paul said, "This is the gospel, this is what it takes to be saved, and this is how to live in it. You live in it by faith." Right? Yeah, because Jesus is going to tell us to do things that we don't understand, right? He's going to guide us to places we've never been, and He's going to ask us to perform things that we really cannot do in and of ourselves. Have you ever heard that saying, "God will never put more on you than what you can bear"? I don't think that's true. I really don't. Because I really believe God puts more on you than what you can bear. He really does. Because and in doing that, He gives you the power to do more than what you can.
You don't know right. what you can do.
You don't know what you can do, right? You never know how far you can go until you've gone too far, right? And so, but when it's impossible with man, it's still possible with God. Mm-hmm. Right? See, inside myself, there's no way that I can do the things that I do. And inside my flesh, inside of my heart, I cannot do what God has told me to. But with God in me, with God guiding me, with God empowering me, with the Holy Ghost in me, there's nothing, with faith in me, there's nothing I cannot do that God has called me to. Moses was not able to part the Red Sea. He didn't do it. You know what Moses did? He lifted his stick. That's all he did. Right? Moses, God said, "Moses, go to the edge of the water and lift up your staff." This is what Moses did. God did all the rest. Right? Yeah, everybody says, "Moses parted the Red Sea." No, he didn't. Moses lifted his staff and he believed God.
Right.
And God didn't say, "Hey, Moses, I'm about ready to part the Red Sea." He says, "Moses, go over there to the edge of the water. The Pharaoh's army's behind you. The ocean's in front of you. You're going to die. That's what it looks like. But believe in me," right? "And lift up your staff and say, move forward." It took faith. Right? That faith is what made a difference in Moses' life. Right? He believed God. He believed God enough to do the ridiculous things, the things he was not able to do. There were, anyhow, different Bible study. But see, through faith, we've been set free. We have faith. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back. Don't go back like that dog back to the vomit that you've been set free. Peter says that it's like a proverb. The dog always returns to his vomit. Don't be a dog. The sow, after she's washed, always goes back to the mire. Don't go back to the way you used to be. Stand in the liberty of God, standing in the righteousness of God, depending on Him through faith to do things outside of what you're able to do, and to know that He is able to perform the things that He has called you to. So as we're going through this last week and wrestling with these thoughts and this power that God has given us, we looked at the law, and it tells us there in this portion of Galatians that circumcision really doesn't make a difference. See, the Jews relied on their keeping the law. I was circumcised on the eighth day. All right? Jesus doesn't care whether you're circumcised in the flesh or not. He says, here's the circumcision I want. Circumcise your heart. Right? You want to get your life, cut the flesh off of your heart and walk in the Spirit. And that's what he's telling us to do throughout this chapter here. We left off actually in verse 6, so we'll pick up there now. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now catch this. It doesn't matter whether you've had your skin cut off or you haven't had your skin. Faith which is at work or worketh by love. Do you really believe God enough to walk in the faith that demands something out of you? You know, faith demands stuff out of you. James said this, show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. It's not what I say, it's what I do. If you really and truly have faith in something, that is what you're going to do. A lot of people have faith in science right now. They truly believe that if you wear a mask, it's going to make a difference. It's not. It doesn't. Masks don't help. Scientists say it does, but factually, it just doesn't. It doesn't help. It doesn't make a difference. If anything, it makes you sicker, you know, because you're breathing your own carbon monoxide continually. And it isn't good. It's not healthy for you. Unless you're a plant. If you're a plant, then I guess breathing carbon monoxide is not that bad. But it's not real healthy for humans. Okay? And so Paul is writing here, listen, we need to understand that Jesus working through faith in love, right? But faith, what really matters to Jesus isn't about keeping the law or not being in the law, but having faith that's worked out, that works by love. He says in verse 7, talking to the church, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. Now, catch out these three little verses right here. The church and the churches in Galatia started out real well. Right? When Paul came and he planted the churches and he told them how to live in Christ Jesus, living in the liberties that he has set us free from, teaching them how to love one another the way that Christ has loved us. You started out good. Right? But something happened. Something happened. Somebody came in and they took the liberty that Christ had given the church and started adding things to it. Right? So, yeah, it's the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if you don't have this thing to add with what he did, then your salvation is real. If you're not circumcised, then your salvation is real. If you don't pray to Mother Mary, then your salvation isn't real. If you don't jump through the hoops of the congregation or the religious organization, then your salvation isn't real. And the church was eating into that because they're looking at it just like we do today. If I can earn my salvation by doing good works, God's going to love me more if I obey the commandments. God's going to love me more if I do this for him or if I do that for him. God loves you to the utmost right now. He can't love you any more than what he has loved you. So you doing good works isn't going to make him like you more, you know, and it isn't going to make him dislike you anymore. You see, with Jesus, it's kind of cut and dry. You're either in or you're out. You're either born again or you're not. You're either filled with the Holy Spirit or you're not. Often we get in our mindset that there's certain tasks that we've got to do to please God. Do you know what you really got to do to please God? I mean, does anyone out there, what do you got to do to please God?
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. You trust Him. You walk with Him. Live by faith. Now, remember how many times we've gone over this, the just shall live by faith? Do you know how many times it's mentioned in the Bible that the just shall live by faith? In the New Testament, it's no less than 6 or 7 times. And then in the Old Testament, that theory, that theme is repeated all the way from Abraham all the way through, right? Those who really are justified in Christ, they live by faith. But then their faith also has an obedience to it. Because if you really believe what you said you believed, you would obey who you said you believed in. Did you understand that? If we as the body of Christ really and truly had faith that Jesus Christ was coming back, and we really believed that, would there be any difference in our day-to-day walk? Right? I know I would do things a little, I really believe that he's coming back, so don't misunderstand me when I say this. But I know that I can do things better. Alright? Now, it's not making me any more saved than what I am. It's not making me any more righteous than what I am. But it keeps me closer to the Lord. See, we've heard this a lot, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, right? And we understand that. We grab a hold on to that. Now, verse 8, it says, this persuasion, this understanding, this refers to the pressure tactics of the religious establishment. That persuasion, the pressure tactics. If you don't say 25 Hail Marys, if you don't do your baptism on time, if you don't do this, that persuasion didn't come from God. Bringing the people back underneath the law wasn't coming from Christ. It says this persuasion, this tactic, this way of drawing you back underneath the bondage of the law, it says, cometh not from him that called you. Now, who called them? Who called the church? Who called this church? You are the church, not the building. Who called you? How did you get saved?
Christ.
Christ. Amen. Right? And did Jesus Christ call you to put you back under burdens? Right? He called you to set you free from the law of sin and death. He called you to set you free. Remember, the law of Moses was only to show us that we could not save ourselves. Right? Nobody was able to obey the law in its fullness. And even if you could do it, you're still a sinner. Because sin passed from Adam into the whole world. Right? So even if you were able for some way to obey those 10 commandments that God laid out, right? And if we could just obey them, we'd be saved. But no, you couldn't be saved by obeying the law. Because the law was never meant to be a saving tool. It was meant to show you that you were not what God needed out of you. That you could not do it on your own. That's why God knew before the foundation of the world, he saw the cross. He saw Jesus Christ. He knew that God was going to have to come and pay for the debt, the sin debt of the world through his incarnation in the flesh. So he knew those things. But somebody came and persuaded the church, called them back underneath the weight of the law. And that wasn't Christ, that was the Judaizers. Those were the legalists, the religious people of their time. Verse 9 says, don't you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know, that word leaven, he's talking about a little bit of false doctrine. Let's think of it that way. Don't you know, a little bit of false doctrine is going to mess the whole thing up? You know, when the pastor or somebody tells you that the cross of Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is wonderful, but there's just one thing you lack. Right? When you add anything to what Jesus has done, then you have allowed the leaven to come in. Now, he's talking about salvation here. He's talking about our walk with God. So a little leaven, it leavens the whole lump. And anybody here that's ever baked, right? You know, you can take just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit, and put it in a little bit of flour, and it corrupts the whole thing. And really, that's what yeast does. It corrupts. It puts a bacteria in the flour and gives it the air that makes it rise, you know. And so a little bit of leaven, it leavens
everything that touches. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will that you'll be no wise otherwise. No, excuse me on that. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be no otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now here Paul is talking about whoever came in and started trying to put them back under the law again. He doesn't know exactly, he doesn't know who the man or who the person was, whoever beguiled them, whoever hindered them from obeying the truth, whoever that person was. If you have, that you be no otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. So whoever did that, God's going to get him back for it. All right? Don't waste any time trying to argue with that person. Don't waste any time. You get your life right with God, and God will take care of that guy, that person that's doing those wrong things. So you could be in a church with bad doctrine. All right, the pastor saying that you got to add something to Jesus Christ. You could be in that body of believers. Okay? And God says, listen, what you need to do is make sure your vessel's right. Because when you stand before judgment, before God in that day of judgment, you're going to be judged on what you did, not what that guy did. Right? You have the Word of God right in your lap. You have the Bible. You have everything you need to know for life, for goodness, for righteousness, for instruction. It's everything you need to know is right here. It's in the Bible. And you can read it for yourself. And plus you have the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, all righteousness. And you have that unctioning of God Himself that draws you into His love, into His liberty. And He chastens those who He loves. So when you mess up, and who here messed up today, right? I do, right? And you know what? God says, I love you even though, let me call you back out of that mess. Let me bring you back to where you are in me. And verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then it is the offense of the cross has ceased. I would ye were even cut off, which troubled you. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, look at what Paul is saying. He said, listen, if I'm trying to teach the church to be back under circumcision, back under the law again, then why are the Judaizers trying to kill me? Right? Why were those people? Listen, if I was... Jesus said this, that a kingdom will not stand if it's divided against itself. Right? So, if I were preaching, or as Paul was just saying, if he was preaching the law of Moses added to the grace of Christ, then the law of the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't be after to kill him. Right? He said, listen, if I was teaching what they're teaching, they wouldn't be hating me. So, know this, Jesus said that if you love the world would love its own. But you're not of this world. You've been called out of the darkness and into His light. So the world will hate you because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And the world will take care of its own. That's all Paul is saying here in that verse right here. If I preach the circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Why would they? If I was teaching you to go back under the law, why would the people who teach the law be trying to kill me? I'm trying to set you free from that into the full liberty that Christ has given us. And as he said right after that in verse 12, I would they were even cut off which troubled you. Those folks who were troubling you, I wish they were dead. That's really what he said. You know, those folks who had come into the church and started perverting the Word of God, I wish they would die. That's kind of harsh, don't you think? You know? But really, that's what he's saying. You take it, they would be cut off, that cut off. When God cuts somebody off, you know what he does? He cuts them off. You know, he just cuts them right out. And so in verse 13, "For brethren, if you have been called into..." Excuse me, not yet. "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So Paul wrote also in Romans, about faith and sin and grace. "Because I have grace, should I sin all the more? God forbid." Right? Just because I've been washed in the blood and I have forgiveness of my sin through Jesus Christ, does that give me liberty to just live a lifestyle that doesn't represent Christ? God forbid. I should not be a person that walks on both sides of the road. Either you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. Either you're walking with Him with a heart that desires to serve Him, or you're not. I love the way that He makes it so cut and dry. You know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out. Either you're in or you're out. And what makes you in? Well, first, Christ brings you in. And He keeps you in, but because you're in, you have a lifestyle, a conduct code, or code of conduct that we as Christians should be living in. We as Christians, He's going to get into the walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh here in the next verse or two. So let's go ahead and look into that, verse 14, 15, then we'll get into 16. "For all the laws fulfilled in one world, one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed, one of another." Do you know that the church could eat itself up? How do I do that? By bad mouthing my brother? You know, my sister is saying bad thing about him. And he says, listen, we ought not do that. Verse 16 says, "I say this, then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." All right? "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and they are these." And he's going to go through this list of things that we all struggle with to a certain amount. All right, but before we get there, let's look at what he was saying to the church. We have a choice: either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Which one do you want to do? You can speak. You want to walk in the Spirit, right? All right. Now, old Indian story. I told it last night in men's group. The chief was talking to the medicine man. And the chief comes to the medicine man and says, "Hey, medicine man, I got this problem. Man, every night when I go to sleep, let's see, I got these two dogs fighting in me. And one's always wanting to go good, one's always wanting to go bad. And they're struggling all the time inside of me, and I don't know which one's going to win. Can you help me, medicine man?" And the medicine man thinks for a minute, and he says, "Yeah, I can help you. I know which one's going to win." And the chief says, "Which one?" He says, "The one you feed more." Right? If you feed the flesh, that flesh is going to overcome the Spirit. You're going to quench the Spirit. But if you feed the Spirit, that flesh, that old man, that dog that you are, is going to eventually turn from this ravenous wolf to a little chihuahua. Right? You won't get rid of him completely as long as you're alive. Right? But you can starve him to where he's really of no effect. Do you know that you can walk in obedience to the Lord? Do you know that you can be perfect? I'm not saying sinless, right? I'm not saying that you'll be sinless. But do you know that you can be perfect before God? Now, we think of perfect in the wrong mindset. We think of perfect without a flaw when we think of something perfect that has no flaw. But that's not the way that God looks at perfection. Noah was perfect in all of his generation, right? Right? Amen? Right?
But we also know he had a drinking problem. He parked, or God parked the boat, and quick as the grape to come out, he made a bottle of wine and got schnockered. Right? Of course, I don't know if I was stuck on a boat for that long. I'd probably want a drink too. You know? But you see, he had a drinking problem, right? So he was a sinner at heart. But he was perfect. David was a man after God's own heart. Right? But we know that he was a murdering adulteress. His hands were so full of blood that he couldn't build the temple. That's what God said. But he was still a man after God's own heart. Right? How about Moses? Moses, he is considered a righteous man in his own sight. Right? Fake. He was a murderer and a liar. Right? You know that. And he was a coward too. Right? God said, go. I can't go because I can't talk. I can't talk right. Stop it, Moses. I control your tongue. Just obey me and I'll take care of this. Just believe enough and I'll make all these things happen. So if we really desire to have that faith that truly pleases God, we need to walk in that spirit, walk in the spiritual things. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Because we know that the things on the earth are temporal. They're only going to last for a short time. All this stuff is going to burn with a fervent heat. In fact, we know in the Scripture, several places in the Scripture, that talks about the heavens being rolled back as a scroll. That's a maddening thing, right? Because we get thinking, we know so much about space. It's so huge, it's so big. God says it's here's what I think it is, folks. It's just a little old piece of paper, a little bitty piece of paper, and I'm going to roll it up one day like a big old fatty. I'll roll that thing up, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to put it in the corner, and you'll see what things really are, right? Now, we think space is this huge thing. God says it's no more than a blanket to Him. He's going to roll it up like a roll of carpet, man. All the stars, all the constellations, everything we see, He's going to roll it right up. I don't think we see things the way that they really are. That's why He says that we need to have faith by walking in the Spirit. And if we do that, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are those two dogs that are fighting in us. There's the one that belongs to God and the one that belongs to us, our flesh. And I won't even blame Satan for these things, right? Because what he's going to talk about right here, this is the effect of the fall of mankind. All right? It wasn't supposed to be this way, but because sin entered the world, all of these things came with it. He says, now the flesh is war, is lusting against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. All right? So that you cannot do the things that you would. Oh, thank you, God, for this. I got to go back in Romans chapter 7, look at that real quick. It's wretched man that I am, struggling with two natures, right? And so, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? What a question. That's 7 verse 24 of Romans. Now, oh wretched man that I am, understand who you are. You're wretched. And understand that your body of flesh is death. Who's going to deliver you from this body of death, you wretched man?
Jesus Christ.
He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Because I cannot do it on my own. But through Christ, through Jesus, I can do all things through the power of the Spirit. I can do these things. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. There is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, catch what he said right there, because so many different translations stop at the wrong place. A lot of translations say there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and they put a period there, and they don't add the rest of it. Right? What does the rest of it say? Who walk not after the flesh, but after... I think that's a pretty important part. And there's a lot of translations of the Bible that just take that and just remove it. Just take it right off the Bible. That doesn't matter. For shame. But anyhow, and so you have a choice. If you want to be condemned, then walk after the flesh. Right? But if you don't want to be condemned, walk after the Spirit. It's kind of simple. That's what he's talking about here in Galatians chapter 5. You can either walk after the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, now these are the manifestations. This is what it looks like. The works of the flesh that are manifested, which are these. He starts out with adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft. That word witchcraft is sorcery. All right, it's using medications that you don't need. Right, it's happy pills. The doctor used to give my mom Valium. Right, she had the little yellow Valium pills. They were so cool. But you see what I'm saying? But anybody who's caught into that is witchcraft. And then it comes into hatred, contentions and jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions and hearsays, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such alike. And so he gives you that list. Of which things I told you before, as I also tell you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're doing those things, guess what you will not inherit? Kingdom of God. Wait a second, I said the prayer when I was in sixth grade. I was supposed to slide into home. Now, wait a second. If you are doing these things, right? You're doing these things, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like that, and such the like, as he had told you before, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you walk in the flesh and you don't walk in the Spirit, guess what you will not inherit? Go ahead, say it like you mean it. Come on, yeah, please. Because we ought to know these things. And if we really believe this, how would we act? How would we live? See, we've been under this false doctrine, pray after me and you'll be saved forever and ever and ever and ever. Right? Just say these words after me, and no matter what, you can go rape, murder, drunkenness, revelries, dope, smoking, parties. You can beat up your dog and your wife, and it's okay because you said the prayer. You said the prayer. You confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? That's not what the Bible says. We just went over it, right? What did the Bible say? Not what did doctor, philosopher, theologian, so-and-so say. The Bible says if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't, every once in a while, get drunk. All right? I pray that we don't. But every once in a while, you might go to a party, and there's nothing wrong with having a drink. I wouldn't suggest it. Well, again, there's nothing... A little arsenic won't kill you, right? You know that? You do a little arsenic, it isn't going to kill you. But if you lay with it long enough, arsenic doesn't come out of your body. So you take a little bit today, it doesn't kill you. Take a little bit tomorrow, it doesn't kill you. But it's building up in your body. Before you know it, it'll kill you. You'll take that little bit one time, and it'll kill you. Now, my first smoke of a cigarette did not kill me. I thought I was going to die. I choked like a... right? But after I smoked a couple packs, man, they went down like ice cream, man. There wasn't nothing to them. Right? But if I would have laid with that, I don't know if y'all ever remember those cigarettes called Raleigh? Yeah. And they had those little stamp on them. Coupons. Yeah. Do you know if you saved up enough of those coupons, you could get an iron lug? you read the small print. If you save up X amount of these right here, you can have an iron lung.
I got a toaster.
You got a toaster. Well, you see, they knew it was going to kill you, yeah. Right? There's nothing wrong with having a drink, a glass of wine with your meal. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you got to drink a whole bottle, then your liver's going to shut down on you, right? Now, I would suggest don't do any of that because none of it's good for you.
Now, we do know that Paul told Timothy, take a little bit of wine with your food for the upset stomach that you get. But he didn't say slam back a quart of vodka, you know, right? Take a little bit of wine. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to get snot slinging drunk.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure you can.
You're saying it's okay to do one of these things once in a while. What about sexual immorality?
Well, I had sex outside of marriage.
Once in a while you can do that?
Well, I had sex outside of marriage, you know. I wish I didn't, but I fornicated. You know, I wish I was a virgin when I got married. But I wish I was a virgin now. You know, but he says if you practice such things, if you practice such things. So if you're still having sex outside of a marriage after you know that what's right and what's wrong, or if you're having sex, if you're married, you're having sex with somebody who's not your bride or not your husband. That's and you continue to do that without repentance, then yeah, you stand a very good chance of losing your salvation. All right? Wrath or strife or seditions, hearsays, even gossip. Hearsays, that's what he's talking about, gossiping one to another. Murders. Now, I've never murdered anybody, like with a knife or a gun or nothing, but I've talked about people pretty bad. And Jesus said, if you say something wrong about your brother, you've already murdered him. He also said, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've already committed adultery with her. And I can't think any of us have not done that. You know, look at somebody and say, wow, that's a pretty whatever, boy or girl, or depending on what sex you are now, the opposite sex, had to draw you to them, you know. And so, but don't live in that. You know, don't live in that. And so he says, I told you in times, these which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And replace those things with these things, because the fruit of the Spirit is much better, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, agape, all right? It's joy, joyfulness. It's peace. It's putting up with stiff-necked people, known as long-suffering, amen? Y'all ever have to long-suffer with somebody? Amen? My wife said, yes. For 20 years, I've long-suffered with somebody. But the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, right? Those things are some of the stuff that as you walk in the Spirit, your love grows. The more that you stay in the Spirit, the more joy and peace. Do you know that you can have peace in troubled times? You know, it can be, the whole world can be falling apart around you, and you can be standing peaceful. You know, trusting in God. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness. Man, I'm still working on that one, but it's getting better, right? I'm a lot more Anna baby. I'm a lot better gentle now than what she said, love that. She would know that Anna, not that much. And so, but gentleness, her goodness, faith. Boy, the longer you walk in the Spirit, the more your faith grows. You know why your faith grows the longer you walk in the Spirit? Because you see God at work. And when you not just read about that He was faithful in times past, but when you're walking and living and you see God doing stuff, you see God moving, you see people's lives being changed, you see that God is providing when nothing else is providing. Right? That's a fruit that is walking in the Spirit. There's a growth of fruit in that. You can have meekness and temperance. And if you're walking in those things, against such things, there is no law. See, there's no law against having love or joy or peace or long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. There's no law against those things. Isn't that good? You can have all that until it flows over in you. And God wants to give it to you. But you know what stops all these works of the Spirit? Envy, murder, drunkenness, strife, revelries, and such alike. Right?
You quench the Spirit when you don't walk in the Spirit. When you don't believe God enough to follow what God says, you lose the peace of God, or with God. I always get those backwards. So the peace of, see, peace with God comes at salvation. God sees you and He makes peace with you. You surrender and you make peace with Him. You sign a peace treaty through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as you walk with God, or if you, depending on what you do, if you walk with God or if you don't walk with in the Spirit, if you're not walking in the Spirit, the peace, the joy, the long-suffering, all those things don't grow in you. Now, you have the kinetic energy for all of that stuff to grow inside of you, to grow, and you can start producing that stuff. But to produce this, you've got to cut off all those dead things, right? What did Jesus say in John 15? My Father trims off. He prunes those things that are not producing fruit. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have something in your life that's preventing you to love, right? You have something in your life that's preventing the joy of God in living in your life. You have something in your life that's preventing the peace of God really ruling in your life. Guess what needs to be trimmed off? Whatever is stopping that, it's dead works, right? And we need, and He made a list of what those potentially could be, right? You turn back just to that again. Adultery, all right? If you're having adultery, if you are living in adultery, there is no peace in your life. There's no joy in your life, right? That you're always worried about somebody finding out. If you're living in idolatry or witchcraft, or if you're holding hatred in your heart against somebody, then you're not experiencing the fullness of the Spirit of God. He has so much more for you. So why would we go back to those old things if we've been forgiven of them? I don't know. I think Jesus was pretty plain, or Paul was pretty plain. If you're doing those things, you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, if you're in Christ, you've crucified the flesh. If you've crucified your flesh, what happens when you crucify something?
It dies.
It dies. Right. Now, remember that story about the chief and the medicine man? Right? The one dog's the white dog and the black dog, and they're fighting each other. And the one who's going to win is the one that you feed the most. Right? So if you're feeding your flesh with envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and such alike, then you haven't crucified it. Right? In the Old Testament, what they would do is they would bring their sacrifice to the altar of God. And they would take it, and they would take that lamb or that sheep, or they would take that oxen, or whatever it is that they had, whatever they could afford, their very best, and they would tie it to the horns of the altar. And the priest would come up, and he would take a knife, and he'd jab it in the jugular vein of that animal. And he would drain the blood out of it. All of the blood out of it. Okay? They killed it. You know, we can bring these things out of our flesh before the Lord and have it be killed. But if you brought your sacrifice to the horns of the altar and you changed your mind just before they killed it, it would have not shed its blood to cover your sin in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus went to the cross for our sin, right? He shed His blood for our sin. Now, He says, if we walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit, after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, after you've accepted Him, after you're already born again, and you still choose to walk in rebellion against the Spirit of God, you have no security in your salvation. Because He said, if you practice such things, if you do these things, you have no reward, no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be
desirous
of the vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Don't desire vain glory, a good pat on the back. Bless you so much, George. Here, let me come pat you on the back.
Bless your heart. You did so good.
And if that's what you're doing things for, if that's why you're trying to walk in the Spirit to get a pat on the back, what you need is a kick in the pants. You don't need a pat in the back. You need to be straightened out. You don't do these things for vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. We're not supposed to envy one another. We're supposed to love one another. Right? If we love each other the way that Christ loved us, oh, we can have the freedom. We can have liberty. Man, stop coveting what your brother has or your neighbor has. But start really desiring the fullness of God in your life. And so, any thoughts before we close? Anything in your mind? Anything that was said that is just puzzling you and you like to wrestle it out? Come on. Ding, ding. Yeah, it's a small piece of paper. Okay. And so, I love you, my people. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And meditate on these things that we talked about today. Because as a Christian, there's a walk that we're expected to do. All right? Because you are born again, because you are a son of the Most High God, there's some things that you need to crucify in your flesh, right? And he went through some examples. That's not a full list. It's a good list, but it's not a full list. You've got to go through Ephesians, and it has a list, and Romans has a list. But they're basically the same list. I think this is the most all-inclusive list of the works of the flesh. But those are the things that we already have in us at birth. Right? Satan doesn't need to get that stirred up in you. So don't say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You did it because you wanted to do it. That if you're living in sin, you're doing it not because the devil's twisting your arm and forcing you to do it. If you're born again, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil has no authority over you whatsoever. Unless you give it to him. Now, you can give him authority over your life by walking in the flesh and not obeying the Spirit. But you can also bar him out of your life by walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we inhale. I love you guys. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and righteousness. And I thank you for the people that are here today, Lord Father. I pray for the Word of God that you gave us tonight, Father. I pray that as we went through it, it started stirring up some stuff on the inside of us, and there's some places that we need to repent, and we really need to take a good, hard look at our life, Lord God, what you are expecting in your body. And now, Father, I pray that we would be obedient to the call in which you called us, Father. I pray that we would lean into your understanding, Father, that we would focus our hearts on your word and not on our own flesh. Father, teach us, train us up, make us soldiers of the Most High God. And we thank you and we praise you for those things.